It's good singing this morning. Choir did a great job. Young people, young men, y'all did a great job. And that song is a good song to lead in to the message this morning. If you got your Bible, we're going to be reading in Isaiah chapter number 40. And we've got quite a few places to read this morning. What we want is what God wants. It's very important to me in everything that you do. Sometimes people come to the house of the Lord and they've got their own agenda or their own thing. But the best thing is what God wants. We want to honor the Lord this morning. It's good to see Brother Rick Gravitt back with us this morning. Amen. We missed you. It's good to see all of you. I look around this morning and I see a house just about full, and it's a blessing to me. You know, it wouldn't be anything for me to come down here and get up here and look out and it be empty. I'd be sad. Amen. Every time I see you in the house of the Lord, every person, it's a blessing to me. And I want you to know it's a blessing to the Lord. You know, our God is powerful and He's mighty and He is all-knowing. He's all-seeing. And He is the only God. As we read this scripture this morning in Isaiah chapter number 40, we're going to talk a little bit about the power of God, the majesty of God. But the subject this morning I'm going to preach on for just a little bit is making God up. People do that. In the Old Testament, when you study about the children of Israel, they did it all the time. They would make gods out of their own hands. And they would set them up and they would worship them. Or they would forsake the power and the greatness of the God that blessed them, that created them, that had given them all the blessings that He had. And they would turn from worshiping the true and the living God to worshiping false gods. The gods of the people that were around them. Now, I want to read in Isaiah chapter 40, and we're going to read quite a few verses. I do have a couple other places I'll read in a minute, but I want you to listen to this scripture beginning in the 14th verse. It's talking about the majesty of the Lord. It said, "With whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him, and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed Him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing." And what that means there is He considers the coasts of the earth as a very little thing. You know, when we consider the nations, we consider the coast, we consider the power of the tides. And I heard one time Ravi Zacharias was actually at a debate. He was an apologist to defend the Christian faith, and they were trying to come at Ravi Zacharias in some way to push back against the idea of a creator God. And they started talking about the stars, and Ravi Zacharias quoted a verse out of the book of Genesis that simply said this: "He made the stars also." He made them also. It's that little of a thing. If all the nations of the earth are as a drop of a bucket, when you look at all the geopolitical events going on, and you look at this leader over here, and this dictator over there, and this conflict over there, Matthew chapter number 24 says, as we approach the day of the return of Christ, there will be wars and rumors of wars, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. And it tells us of the things that are going to happen. But here's what I want you to understand. God is so big, He's so great, and He's so powerful that He never gets concerned, He never gets nervous about what's going on in this world. I heard it said recently that some of these countries that are being attacked are going to be standing long after the person that's the dictator that opposed them is gone. Pray for Ukraine. Pray for the United States of America. But I want you to understand something. When every kingdom has fallen, God's still going to be on the throne. When every leader, not just of past but present and also future till Jesus comes, when they're gone and all their power is gone, God the Father is still going to be sitting on the throne, and Jesus is going to be sitting beside him making intercession for the people of God until God the Father looks at the Son and says, Son, go get your church and bring them home. See, God is powerful, and he's great, and he's strong. And it says in the 16th verse, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. You know, if you study in the Old Testament, they used to take and pull the cedar trees from Lebanon because they were so big when they would build. And what it's saying is all that the world and the earth has to offer is not sufficient to be a burnt offering to the majesty of our great and holy God. In the 17th verse, it says, all nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him as less than nothing and vanity. And I want to stop right here. That doesn't mean that God doesn't care about the nations of the earth. Didn't it say that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life? That's not what that means right there. He loves the world. But here's what it's saying is if every army and every person that claims intelligence in this earth was to turn against God, all he'd have to do is breathe, and out of his mouth, the power would go and they would fall backwards. They're nothing. The world is nothing to stand against the majesty and the greatness of God. And when you look at what God did for the children of Israel and how he blessed them, why would what I'm about to read to you ever happen? It says, to whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation, or no offering, chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Now, what is this talking about in these two verses? It's talking about how the people would build idols for themselves. And they would choose a wood that would not rot, like cedar or cypress or ebony. And they would carve out a god, and they would overlay that god with gold, and they would lay chains upon it. And as they created this god, they would give this god the characteristics that they wanted that god to have. It might be a god of fertility, it might be a god of power, it might be a god of rain, or a god of the sun, or a god of the moon, but as they created it and they built it with the fashion of their own hands, as they created it, they gave it the characteristics that they wanted because they didn't want to follow God and they wouldn't stay with God. The children of Israel, many times we see drifting away from God. But Isaiah, and this is written in about 690 BC, he begins to speak to the people here in the 21st verse. He says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Have it not been told you from the beginning? And have you not understood from the foundation of the earth that it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heaven as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in? Now, I don't know if you've been paying attention, but they've got this new telescope. And they're talking about how many trillions of stars that are out there. And they're looking and they're saying, certainly in these other galaxies, there's something out there. There's so much out there, and we're just beginning to learn about it. I want to tell you something. The Bible says he made the stars also. God's created. Doesn't the scripture say that God has went to prepare a place for us? And he will come again to receive us unto himself, that where he is, we may be also. It also doesn't it say that it hath not yet appeared what we're going to receive. But we know when we receive it, we're going to be like him. Doesn't it say that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit? I want to tell you something. Yes, God's out there. His power's out there. His majesty's out there. And it's not a bunch of aliens that's floating around. It's the Spirit of God beginning to be on the move because God's getting close to coming back and getting his people. He says that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity, and yea, they shall not be planted, and yea, they shall not be sown. Their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. You know, there's a verse in the Old Testament that says, he that soweth the wind shall reap the whirlwind. It says, to whom then will ye liken me, or who shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number, and he calleth them by names by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, and not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? It's not. Hast thou not known, and hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, and there is no searching of his understanding? He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint, and the weary, and be weary, and the young men shall be utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Amen. Now, when I read this scripture, and it just gives you a picture of the power and the majesty of God, and it tells you what God had to deal with the rebellious nation of Israel. Many times they made God up by making them idols or by following the false gods of those people around them, which were made up idols. Choosing a wood that would not rot, overlaid with gold, placing their valuables upon it, and given the power and the characteristics that they wanted that God to have. Sometimes the children of Israel would turn to Molech. Molech was the god of the Ammonites and the Phoenicians, to whom the children were sacrificed by burning. The statue of Molech, which is often depicted with a goat or a bull's head, was a seated god that had his arms out like this. In the lap of Molech, they would build a fire with coals. The people would come and offering sacrifice, asking Molech to bless them, asking Molech to bless their crops, and they would lay their children on the arms of Molech until their children would melt down into the fire. They would beat the drums and they would sing so that the people would not hear the screaming of the babies. You say, how can that be? Another god that they often served was Dagon. He was the chief god of the ancient Philistines and later the Phoenicians, and he was represented as a half man and a half fish. You remember the story in the Old Testament where the Ark of God was taken by the Philistines, and they took the Ark of God in to where the statue of Dagon was, and they set the statue in front of Dagon. As they come back, they found the statue of Dagon eventually was fallen down prostrate with his hands and his head broken off. I want to tell you, all the false gods of the world are going to bow. Doesn't the scripture say that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father? There's no power that can stand against him. But this is what the children of Israel did. What about Baal? Baal was a god that they worshiped. They often got away from God following Baal, and he was the god of nature and fertility of the ancient Semitic peoples. Remember the story when Elijah went there and there were all these prophets of Baal, and it was just him standing alone before the Lord, and he said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to build an altar, and we're going to pray to the God of heaven, and the God that answers by fire, he is the living God. I want to tell you, folks, God can still answer by fire. All the prophets of Baal, they begin to build the altar, and they gathered around it, and they begin to cry from the morning until the evening, and Baal didn't move because Baal is a dead god. And I want to tell you, every false god of the world has one power source, and that's Satan, the enemy of God. And he can only do what God allows. They got tired and they began to cut themselves and they began to leap upon the altar. And Elijah, he thought it was funny. He said, well, maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's gone on vacation. Maybe he's over here visiting somebody. Cry louder. And in the evening, he told him, he said, I want you to go get these water pots and I want you to pour them over this altar. And they took 12 water pots representing the 12 tribes of Israel, and the water run off the altar and filled the ditch was around about it. And he said, God, I know you hear me. I know who you are. I know you know how to answer. And God moved and the fire fell from heaven and it licked up the altar of the dust and the water, because there's one God and it's not Baal. What about Ashtoreth? The ancient Syrian and the Phoenician goddess of sexual love and fertility. Why do the children of Israel get away from God and follow these gods? Because the ways of God and the laws of God did not go along with the way that they wanted to live. And sometimes in their worship, rather than worshiping God, they would incorporate all kind of wickedness into their worship, and it wasn't nothing but an abomination unto the Lord. And what about the groves? Groves were trees where they would hang idols upon the trees. The people would come and they would knock on the wood to awaken the spirits. They followed spirits. You ever see anybody knock on wood? I have this happen all the time at work, and I want to stop them and just give them a Bible lecture. But I'll say something else. Say, you know, knock on wood. You'll never see this preacher knocking on wood. The power that I look for comes from above. And the Bible says over there in the book of James, said if it's the Lord's will, we'll do this or that. Who knows what tomorrow holds? Only God. But the children of Israel, they got away from God and they followed these false gods. So why did they do this? Why did they make God up? It was because oftentimes, and we deal with this ourselves, God is not moving as fast as we want him to move. You know, unfortunately, there are times in my life that I just be honest with you, I don't like where I'm sitting, I don't like where I'm standing, I don't like what's going on, and I say, God, what are you doing? I don't understand it all, and then I have to realize he's God, he made everything, he made the stars also, my job is just to be obedient. Amen. But I want to tell you, the children of Israel have always, always had a problem with it. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 9, and verse number 7, this is where the Lord sent Moses up on the mountain to give him the commandments of God, written in a tablet of stone by the finger of God. And while Moses was up on the mountain having close communion with the Lord, the children of Israel were down there and they had forgotten that quick. That quick, they had forgotten how God had led them out of Egypt. They had forgotten how God had led them across the sea when they got there and the army was behind them. They had forgotten what happened at the waters of Marah when there was nothing that they could drink. In the 7th verse, it says, remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness, from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came into this place. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord. Also in Horeb ye provoked the Lord to wrath, so that the Lord was angry with you and to have destroyed you. When I was going up into the mount to receive the tables of stone, when the tables of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water. And the Lord delivered unto me two tables of stone written with the finger of God. And on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake to you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass that the end of 40 days and 40 nights. And the Lord gave to me tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant. And the Lord said to me, arise and get thee down quickly from hence. For thy people which thou hast brought out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I've commanded them, and they have made them a molten image. You see, it was impatience. It's, where's God? Where's Moses? What is God doing? I want to tell you something. Just because God's not moving as fast as we would like for him to move, it's not time to make God up. It's time to be patient and wait on God to move. So what's another reason they make God up? Sometimes it's fear. You know, over there in 1 Samuel chapter number 13, the children of Israel, as Saul was king, begin to be greatly compassed by an army. And when they saw the army and the number of people that came against them versus that God had given them to go out and fight with, they were sore afraid. And they were afraid and they come before Saul. And it was the day that Samuel was to come and offer sacrifice. And only at this time was the priest to go in and make the sacrifice. But Saul wouldn't wait on God. Just about the time he thought Samuel was supposed to come and Samuel wasn't there, guess what happened? Saul took it upon himself to go in and offer the sacrifice. Just as he came out, who did he look up and see? There's Samuel coming. And Samuel said, why have you done this? He said, you didn't come and I forced myself. Here's something to never force yourself to do. Never force yourself to get out of the will of God because you have fear or because God is not moving at the time that you want him to. What we need to force ourselves to is our knees and realize that there's one God and we're not him. So as Saul offered his own sacrifice, Samuel spoke to him and said, the kingdom is took from you. It's lost from you. At that time, I tell you what happened to Saul. Saul lost his touch with God. He lost his power with God. He wanted God to move. He wanted God to speak to him. But because of his disobedience, God departed from him. And it wasn't long till we found Saul needing to hear a word from the Lord. Couldn't get a word from the Lord. And he went down to the medium of Endor. What is that? It's a witch. That's in 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse number 1 through verse number 9. See, he couldn't hear from God, so he had to have something. He was needing something so much to give him some direction. He needed something to show him what to do. So why do we move when we should be waiting on God? Fear. We're afraid. We're afraid because the enemy. We're afraid because we can't stand on our own. Impatience. Not willing to wait on God to move. But here's one you often find in the children of Israel. It is simply this. It is disobedience. It is simply not being right with God and not willing to get on your knees and ask God for forgiveness. We make God up. What's number two? Why do they make God up? Sometimes it is because God is not giving me what I want. You see, it was the wickedness in the heart of the people and sin that drove them to follow Molech and Dagon and Baal and Ashtoreth. What about America? What is causing America to turn away from God and to make God up? Has God not given us what we want? Sometimes what we want is not near as important as God and his authority and power understanding what we need. The question, are we not blessed? Surely we are. God has blessed America. God has poured out blessings on America so that there are people who are flooding the borders trying to get into this country. There are people that are getting in little boats in Haiti and Jamaica and they're trying to float across waters. I have a guy that I worked with that floated across the Atlantic Ocean in a little boat. He calls himself one of the boat people. Why? To get to America so that they can have freedom to worship, so that they can have opportunity if you're willing to work and get up out of bed in the morning. There's still opportunity in America. Sometimes we get out of God's will because it's the job that we're not getting that we want. It's the house. It's the stuff. Sometimes it's the mate. Can I tell you that sometimes it's like that old country song. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Question is, do we really want what God wants? Or do we really want what God does not want us to have? Number three, why do we make God up? God's rules just do not fit with the way that we want to live. You see, you can change the word, and this is what a lot of people are doing. There are some preachers today that get up, and I've heard them give this testimony on national television. You know, at our church, we just don't talk about sin. At our church, we just won't say anything that offends anybody. We want everybody to feel good, and we don't want to say anything that's going to cause anybody not to come back. I want to tell you something. You read the writing of Paul, and you read what happened when Paul preached. Everywhere he went, it was either a revival or it was a riot. Today, what we need in America is more preaching of the Word of God and less compromise with sin, and then people would look at the church and believe there's something that's real enough that they might want part of it. I heard a person say one time, and they had people that ought to be in the house of God serving. They said this. They said, you know, my family has gotten just this kind of where we're at. We're too churchy for the world and too worldly for the church. That sounds to me like it's time to get right with God. So how does America make God up? How does America make God up? Y'all remember that mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? You know, we can talk about humanism, but it's an old title. We can talk about secularization, but it's been around a while. What is modern day humanism? It's my body, it's my life, I'll do what I want with it. It's the Laodicean church age. The word Laodicea means civil rights. Are we not living in the day today to where everybody wants to stand up, say, it's me, it's mine, I'll do what I want? I want to tell you something. God said the nations of the world are as the sand in the balance, not just me alone. We make God up by making our own rules. Basically, what we do is we become our own God. We make God up with a liberal agenda that is both anti-God, anti-church, anti-family. And I want to go ahead and say this. It's anti-normal or standard. There's a problem today in America that what we used to call normal ain't normal no more. The Bible talks about in the Old Testament that we ought to take a stand, that we ought to raise up the standard. What is the standard? The standard is in Christ Jesus our Lord, and He does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He'll always be the same. Praise God. What about this? How are we making God up? We make God up with rotten doctrine. I've told my wife, and we've had this conversation. Folks, I want to tell y'all something. There are people today that are looking for a church that's real. They're looking for a place when they come in that when they see it and they look around at the people and they listen to the preacher, they say, this is different from the world. This is following God. Folks, if the church is no different than the world, why go? Amen. Go to the Lions Club. Go down to the bar. That's the way some of them live anyway. I want to tell you something. Rotten doctrine is making up God. It don't matter if it's got a church sign hanging out in front of it. It's still making God up. Where churches won't preach the truth. They accept the sin of this world as a compromise. I heard a story recently. Somebody visited a local church around here and they went into a young couple's class. They said, we went down into the basement and they opened the closet and offered us a drink right there in Sunday school. I want to tell you something, folks. We need to get back to serving God, to worshiping God, not making it up our way, but His way. If you teach a Sunday school class, you ought to believe the Bible. Let me tell y'all what I think it takes to make a preacher. Number one, you ought to be saved by the grace of God. Saved, born again. You know there are pastors out there right now that aren't even saved? Then number two, you ought to believe the Bible. If you don't believe the Bible, I've had some of them try to debate with me, and they say, oh, Jesus didn't walk in this year. And you know, you really, you know, that stuff about the virgin birth is not literal. And I'm thinking, who are you going to preach to? Who are you going to teach if you don't believe the Bible? And then number three, you need to be called by the Holy Spirit of God. God will teach you more by His Spirit than you'll ever learn in school. I'm not against school, but if you don't have a relationship with God, it ain't going to help you. What about this? How are we making God up? And folks, we're living in these times. Do you know that the cults that are common and modern today have only been around so long? All these denominations that teach you that you're going to get to heaven any other way than by grace through faith in Christ, any other way, folks, that is a cult. I don't care what denomination or name it's got on it. We are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're told you got to work, if you're told you got to do this, it's a cult. If they say, I got my Bible from over here, an angel showed it to me, or I got it from this prophet over here, it's a cult. And in the last days, God is being made up by satanic apostasy. Apostasy is the falling away from a standing position. So why are people losing faith in the church today? It is because they need to see something in the church that is real to them, that separates the church from the world. Now I want to give you some scripture in Deuteronomy chapter number 18 and verse number 9. You know what happened to Saul as he got to where he could not hear from God? And he wanted a word, and he was so upset, he said, I've got to have some understanding. I've got to know what to do. So he went to the medium of Endor, which was a witch, and he called forth, thinking that he would get an answer from the dead. In Deuteronomy chapter number 18, verse number 9, here's what it said. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. That's child sacrifice. How many babies have died by abortion in this country, in this world? Or that useth divination, or an observer of times. Folks, that's your horoscope. Or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. A necromancer is one that calls up spirits from the dead and professes to be able to commune with them to predict the future. For all those abominations, or all those things, are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Now, when we look at these things and you say, well, we don't do that stuff, I want to tell you something, folks. We ought to get our answers from God. The altars of Hiram First Baptist Church are always open. You can pray. I don't care if you pray during, you can pray during the invitation. You can pray during the singing. You can pray during the preaching. You can pray during the offering taken up. You can pray before church, but we ought to come and get our answers from God. Right down here, you go down, turn this way, and you can go up. I want to tell you something, folks, you can get your palm read. But I want to tell you, no Christian should ever go to a place to get their palm read. You can go down to the bookstore, and you can buy you a Ouija board, and you can ask it questions, and it'll give you an answer. You can go and get you some tarot cards. You can go and get you a sack of bones from one of these people that have voodoo. But I want to tell you something. If that is in your house, you have opened the door to Satan, and you have given him a place to come in and tie himself to that thing, and it is wickedness, it's an abomination before God, and a Christian should never, ever do any of those things. If you got it in your house, I'd suggest you go home and get rid of it. And then pray and ask God to separate you from it and to cause the evil spirits that came in with it to go out of your house. You say, well, I ain't never heard preaching like this before. I ain't never preached like this before. I ain't never preached this message before. But I want to tell you something today. I get calls from people, and I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. People want me to come pray at their house, and I talk to them. God just spoke to me, and I talk to them. God will show you things if you seek Him. And I just asked them the question. I said, have y'all been playing with the Ouija board? They admitted they had. I said, well, you've got an evil spirit in your house. And until you're willing to get rid of this and this and this, it ain't going to do me a bit of good to come. See, what are we doing? We're making God up because we're not willing to surrender to the true and the living God and to come and to walk by God's rules. Folks, here's the thing to understand. He's God. We are not. And there is no substitute for Him. There's nowhere you can go like Saul. You know what Saul should have done? He should have fell on his face before God, even if God took the kingdom from him and said, God, don't depart from me. I don't want Ichabod written all across my life. I want to hear from you. I want to know your presence. What did David say after he sinned? He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. See, instead of making God up, what should we do? Number one, we should wait on God. Folks, I know it's hard. I'm having a hard time with it myself. Sometimes I want God to move. I want God to give me answers. And it just ain't coming like I want it to. But I remember one time my dad told me something, and I miss him. Wise man. Wisest man I've ever known. Didn't finish the 8th grade. Didn't go to seminary, but he knew God. He said, son, don't let the things that you do not understand prohibit you from walking in the things that you do. When you don't know what to do when you're waiting on God, you need to be like this in Psalms chapter 40, verse 1 through 3. The psalmist wrote and he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. If you want intimacy with God, if you get to a place that you can cry out to Him and you can reach out to Him and you ask Him to speak to your heart, I want to tell you something. God wants a relationship with you. Three things that make a preacher. One is prayer. The other is meditation. The other is suffering. Do you know that that's the same in your walk with God? If we're going to be close to God as God wants us to, we got to learn how to walk with God and retain a relationship with Him in the middle of our suffering. Wait on God. Number two, follow God's plan. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says this, and these are my life verses. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. See, how can my plan possibly be better than God's plan? That word direct, it's a Hebrew word, it's yashar, it means to cut. Literally as if you're going to cut a path. And I see this sometimes when they come down to the woods and they do what's called select cutting. And you can go down there and you can look and you can see where that equipment comes through and it's cut a path, and I like for them to do it. Because now I got a place to ride. I got a place to go. Have you ever needed God just to come and cut a path? I tell you when it's difficult, it's when you don't know what God's going to do, but He showed you that your way is not His way, and He tells you, you need to get away from that job. You need to get away from that person. When He tells you, young people, that person you're with is not the right one, and if you want to be right with me, you need to go down this path. It's hard when you're going against your own feelings. But if you want to be right with God, He'll direct you by His Spirit, and I'll tell you what else He'll do. He'll cut a path. Number three, instead of making God up, we need to agree with God. Agree with God. We need to agree with God about our path and what God wants us to do. And sometimes we need to agree with God about our sin. You see, sometimes what we do and how we make God up is we are involved in something that we know is not pleasing to the Lord because of the Spirit, and we turn a deaf ear so much so to the Spirit of God that we'll begin to rationalize the sin and the things in our life. And the more you rationalize it, the more distant, the more and more distant then the voice of God comes. Doesn't the Scripture say in the book of James that if we would draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you? But guess what happens when you drift away from God? The further you get from God, the more you reject the truth, the more difficult it is for you to hear and understand the truth. So if you're going to stop making God up, you must agree with God that He is and that I am not God. James chapter 4 verse 17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know, in the book of Psalms, as the psalmist David, we know David, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. The Bible also talked about David, and one thing I'll say about David as a king, although he sinned and he failed, David failed in himself. David never followed Molech or Baal or Dagon. But David failed in that he turned away from God, and he come to the point in his separation from God that he had to agree with God about his sin. And in the 51st Psalm, in the 3rd verse, he says this, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. You know, in the book of the Old Testament, there is a reference to David, comparing David to King Solomon. And it said this about Solomon and David. It said, Solomon walked not before the Lord with a perfect heart, as did David his father. How could that be? We know that David sinned, but we don't find where David followed false gods. But what you do find in the life of Solomon, the one that prayed for wisdom, that God gave him great wisdom, as he went on and he began to get older in his life, he began to marry into the tribes around them, and as he married into them, he began to set up idols to those false gods. David didn't do that. So how can he have a perfect heart? That's a mature heart in your relationship with God. Here's what I want you to understand, folks. You can be saved by the grace of God and do all kind of bad stuff. But when we do, I don't want to make God up or make excuses. I want to surrender to God. Folks, that's what America needs to do today. America needs to come back to God. You know, we're blessed in so many ways, and yes, America has great power, and yes, America has great riches, but I'll tell you what America needs again today is America needs great churches because people still need to be saved by the grace of God. I want to read one more verse, and then we're going to call for a song. In the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14, the Scripture says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. That is a promise that God gave to the children of Israel. It's to these people that had went after and followed after idol worship, that had made God up and made God up and made God up and give God the characteristics they wanted Him to have rather than following God on God's terms. But God loved them so much, He said, if you just humble yourself and pray and turn, turn is what repentance is. He said, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive, and I'll heal. You see, I believe God's still the same. I believe this invitation is still given, and I believe it's given to you today. That's why I'm here this morning. I believe God still, y'all ever heard that song, God still saves old sinners. Aren't you glad of that? I am. I don't know about you, but I know if it wasn't for the Lord, I'd be in a lot of trouble. Sometimes I think I'm right there on the edge of the cliff, and I just need God to come along and restore me, to give me that understanding, that patience, and relieve my fear and help me understand that I'm not God, that He still is. We're going to ask you to rise to your feet as she sings this song. If God has spoke to your heart, If you'd like to pray, if you'd like to come, would you please come? Maybe just talk to God, whatever it is on your heart. Most importantly is this. Do you know Jesus? Do you know the Lord is your personal Savior? Have you ever done business with God? Just where you can talk to God and pray and say, God, I know you're there. I know I'm not you. And God, I want to have a right relationship with you. God, I want to know that when I die at the end of my life, that I'm going to spend eternity with you. Do you realize this life is so short? I was sitting here as I was preparing this morning and just reading some notes, and I got this little cross in my Bible. And I picked it up and I looked at it, and it's got crayon on it, little dots. And I hadn't looked at it like this in a while, but I flipped it over. It's got my daughter's name on it. She wrote it with crayon, and I wrote a little note right here, Christmas 1999. Do you know that your life is going to soon be over? And you're going to step out into eternity, and you're going to stand before God. And if you're here this morning, I believe with all my heart that God's going to remind you this morning, just that quick. Do you remember when I spoke to your heart? Do you remember when I bid you to come and you had an opportunity and you didn't come? Now's your time to come. So as she sings, would you please come? Also, if you'd like to join the church this morning, if you'll come down, come right over here. We take members by statement of faith and by baptism. But most importantly, if you need to pray, would you please come right now? Search.